we're dedicating our entire briefing to games.
Sunshine, she's here. You can take a break. I'm a hot air balloon that could go to space.
Even punch asteroids.
Called Amiibo.
With the air, like I don't care, baby, by the way. Because I'm...
MOBA stands for Multi-User Online Battle Arena.
Dawn Gate.
That's Tim Motherfucking Schaefer.
Uh-oh, here's Gladys.
Happiness is to you, because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like that's what you want to do.
All the feels,
Here come bad news, talking this and that.
Freaking awesome!
Yeah. Well, give me all you got and don't hold it back.
And better than on any other platform.
This is Golf Without Limits.
Yeah. No offense to you, don't waste your time.
And he's crouching on me. Okay, thank you.
Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof. Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth.
Hey, go.
And you guys thought we wouldn't have a press conference.
Hey everybody, it's the second half of Boss Rail Radio E3 2014 edition. I am Griff Hoffman, and with me is Jeff Brewer.
Beth Brewer.
And James Scherer.
James Scherer.
Tom Gelton.
Brilliant.
The best man on NPR.
NPR people have the best name, Sotirios Johnson.
Oh, wow.
I still haven't figured out who that woman is. It's like, I'm... Michonne Blanc. The name changes every day. She's some kind of name chameleon.
I have an idea for a video game. I'm going to make it, and it'll be at next year's E3. And so this is the video game. You play as Aerosmith's Steven Tyler, and it takes place at various points in time, like throughout his career, like 70s, 80s, 90s,
and noughts, today,
and now.
Okay.
And in the future, also 20XX.
Wow.
And then
when he becomes president of the free world.
No. Here's the thing. He always stays where he is. He's okay. And then what the game is what happened is he suffered a horrible accident in the 1970s where his entire face just is gone. For some reason, like a horrible rock accident. Like he was rocking out too hard and his face.
Oh, he rocked his face off.
Yeah, he rocked his face off.
Okay.
And so then what happens is in every decade, you have to find like the most, like you have to kill various things. Like you have to kill like babies, animals, celebrities. And you basically have to skin them and make leather out of their faces and then sew the leather together to make your new Steven Tyler face.
Can I propose a name for this game real quick? Or do you have one already?
No, okay. No, go ahead.
Okay, Face Off 2.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's basically my game. You create leathery objects, which Steven Tyler then sews together to apply to his face to make his face look like it is.
Can I make another quick suggestion?
Mm-hmm.
Nicolas Cage.
Just back again.
Even though his character in the first one died. Can this be in that universe?
Sure.
Okay, excellent.
It's like Viadamas from Lost. Like, it's canon, but it's not canon.
Is Viadamas that little extra that they showed?
No, that's the video game. That was a bunch of hot trash.
Oh, okay.
It was a bunch of debris.
Was it like one of those like flash game type things where you just have to?
It was a full ass game that came out in 2008 for the Xbox 360 and the PS3,
mm-hmm.
And it was terrible, but it had really good menu music, like really, really good.
Was it just the Lost music just looping endlessly?
No. It was like a really, really good piece of piano music. Everything else was garbage, but that was like a high point, high watermark.
This old game fodder?
Yeah, definitely. We'll bring it. Bring it back. We have to go back. Jamie, that sounds like quite the compelling game. I would think it'd be more interesting if it was a sequel to Revolution X. And instead of having to rescue the bandmates, you have to rescue certain parts of Steven Tyler's face that have been stolen by the Time Lords of certain eras.
Wait, Revolution X, is that the one, the movie that came out recently?
No, it is the early 90s arcade light gun shooter where you're playing as a faceless man who is rescuing the band Aerosmith. Mm-hmm. And you're shooting guys on rollerblades and like trucks, troop transport trucks and helicopters, and shooting CD bombs at things.
How many times would I Don't Want to Miss a Thing be featured?
I think it's a loop.
Yeah, but it's not the entire song. It's just I don't want to miss a thing.
Every time he tears off a face, it's just that audio clip plays in really low MIDI quality.
Can I close my eyes? You're welcome.
Yeah. Gold. Solid. Well, looking forward to seeing
E3.
D3.
Coming 2017, conceptual prototype.
How do I get in the alpha?
You have to buy an Xbox One with Kinect.
Okay.
No,
tell me more.
You have to buy it, and then you have to offer the Kinect to the gods to unlock the extra 10%. Which will allow you to run the alpha.
The secret is all along, it's your face with the Kinect.
You are the face.
Oh, that would have worked so much better.
Perfect. Well, gentlemen, let's wrap this E3 talk up. We've had about a week to reminisce, stew, congeal our thoughts on everything from 2014's E3. I think we didn't go into too much detail on the Microsoft press conference, but that's partly for the reason why there wasn't a whole lot to go into detail on.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any last final thoughts that you want to... I don't know. We didn't talk about Halo, but that's okay.
Oh, that's right. I wanted to talk about Halo. I just thought it was interesting that they did not show any gameplay of Halo 5 at all.
Yeah, that was weird.
Especially because they announced it before the show.
Yeah.
That was the so-called kerfuffle. That was the cliffhanger ending that I set up.
Yeah.
Which was not really much of a cliffhanger. And they showed like 10 minutes of Halo 1 to 4, which I just thought was weird. I don't know. What did you guys think about that?
I think that's weird, especially I feel like Far Cry 4 did it right, because they showed us the box art, and then at E3 we got all sorts of crazy gameplay with elephants, but with Halo, we got the box art, which is really boring.
Yeah.
And then no gameplay. And I'm not, like, it's easy to get me excited for games. I'm not excited for Halo 5. I'm even excited for Halo, whatever, 1 through 4 on one disc. I'm excited for that.
Yeah. You know what I'm not excited about? How the person on the top of the reflection, Dark Link thing, is also a dude. And I wish it was a lady. I thought so much it was going to be a lady, but then it's a dude. His
You've
name
got
is Locke.
You've got plenty of lady in Halo Cortana.
Yeah, you do.
Plus, you got them titties.
Yeah. As of Halo 4, she did get them titties.
Them titties!
They put a big Microsoft store in my mall, and on the wall, it's a picture of, like, a Zune or some bullshit, and it's like, welcome, like, say hello to Cortana, your new personal assistant.
I love how she's your personal assistant. Because somebody at Microsoft is like, Oh, Cortana. Cortana, tell me about the weather today.
I just like that when they're flashing the characters up on screen, where they're like, the rich history of the Halo universe. And it's like, they're talking, you know, it's the Master Chief face and that commander guy's face and that strange looking guy with the
Bonnie Ross face. I do not believe you at all.
But then they show Cortana, which is the new Cortana, like the Halo 4 Cortana, who's much more lifelike. But it's only from like the collarbones up. Because before, it was like some deep cut, low cut V-neck kind of.
They straight up mystiqued her, man.
Well, I know they did, but I'm saying like before they had no problem showing off that cleavage.
Oh yeah.
But as time has gone on, and as people said, hey, that's a lot of boobs on that character. All of a sudden, they're toning it back.
It's just dumb. I don't trust Bonnie Ross. She sounds really disingenuous. I don't
Well, like Jeff, as a fan of the Halo franchise, I'm sure they really value your opinion.
Is she? I mean, she's the head of the whole thing. So is she like really? Has she been with it from the beginning, or has she just taken over recently?
No idea. I don't know.
She was head of microwaves before this.
I just know that the last time I saw her, she was talking about the great opportunities in the realm of television. Yeah. And I was like, oh, Bonnie, why you got to do that to me?
I think that the package they're putting out is a really cool thing. It's actually one of the most talked about things I have been told in the wild. People are saying, oh, yeah, my November's gone now because Halo 1 through 4 is coming out. Blah, I'm going to just sink into a puddle. And I'm like, hey, I totally get it. Like, that makes complete sense. Like, you're going to just go back to what you love in the best way possible. Like, that's, you know, it's like, you know, releasing a Mario game with up-res or something like that. You know, that it's that kind of, like, nostalgia trip. But although, I think they did it right, too. Yeah.
Apparently, this is an interesting little tidbit. I don't know if you guys picked up on this. Apparently, Nintendo has been dominating the Twittosphere.
What?
I don't know. Apparently, Nintendo has been the most tweeted of the big three following E3.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. I think that's who's. I was thinking about this, too, when I was trying to pitch what I had been doing for the past 2 days to coworkers. And, you know, last year, like, oh, man, PlayStation 4 and, like, prices and features and this one does. Like, this year, there's no one big bullet point, except for Nintendo, where you're like, they had this game that's coming out, and they're doing this crazy new shit with little toys. It's rad.
Yeah.
So it is the easiest to kind of just say, big bullet point, totally cool. Yeah.
I feel like the only Nintendo fan who wasn't, like, excited, who didn't leave that conference thinking, oh my god, like, Megatons, Nintendo was back, guys. I just left it thinking, like, wow. Like, what is this company going to do to stay relevant? And I don't know why I feel that way. Like, because I liked what they showed. I guess maybe just that none of it's coming this year.
Yeah.
I just, and like, they don't have third parties anymore. Like, how does that, like, yeah, they're the most tweeted because they have the most interesting stuff on display. And Nintendo and Twitter, like, you know, they're like oil and vinegar. They go well together for some reason. But I don't know how that, you don't feel that way?
No, sorry. I'd never heard that analogy before.
Oh, I don't know. What do you mix that goes well together?
Blacks and Jews.
They're everywhere. I think Nintendo's they're just a presence on Twitter. If you're gonna get on Twitter and be snarky and goofy about a game, it's probably like Animal Crossing or something.
Sure.
Or Tamagotchi Life.
Yeah.
And I just, it seems fitting that they would get the most attention there because I think that the people who are, I don't know, it just feels right. But I don't know how they actually, like, turn that into forward movement for them. And I, as a fan, like, I saw what they had, and I was like, that's cool, I like it. But I don't feel better about the company's lot.
Really? I do feel better. I'm with you, but I also do feel better about their lot. Because I think that they are maybe looking a little more critically at what they've done in the last 2 or 3 years and thinking about what works and what doesn't, and they're actually working those lessons into the new games. Like, I think they got a lot of great feedback about the new Zelda on 3DS, Link to the Past.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they are taking that and they're making it now into a console Zelda. And I feel like things like that.
I think people are excited about that, but that doesn't fix the problem I had with console Zelda, which is probably why I'm less excited.
This I can't take credit for this as original thought because I heard it on another podcast. And a really salient point about Nintendo's press conference to walk away having hope in Nintendo is a month, 2, 3, 4 months before E3, some of the biggest talk was, what is Nintendo going to do to save the Wii U? Let's get rid of the tablet. Let's get rid of that whole device. Let's strip it all away. Maybe they'll launch a model that doesn't even have the touchpad. And then E3 comes, they have their show, and they're like, no, you connect figures to it. We have more games that are utilizing it. They're saying the tablet, the touchscreen is here to stay. The second screen experience is what this is about. Like, they may not have done a great job of, like, completely explaining it, but they at least said, we are not backing down from this decision we made.
Mm. I guess for me, I was kind of already there as, like, a tablet believer, and I guess, like, I don't know.
I'm a believer.
Nintendo whisperer. I was like, they're never going to drop that thing.
Yeah.
It
Well, but, there was a lot of talk that they
would. I see what you're saying. Yeah, certainly, on forums and stuff, people were like, oh, they should just get rid of it. It wouldn't be that hard.
Right. We didn't see any horn their crap out to two other systems as well. So, you know, that one people need to just chill out on. Mario Kart 8 is not coming out on the iOS device.
Yeah. And, I don't know. I just, I think you're right, Jamie. I think they are learning. I don't know. I just think it was a weirdly, I guess I just expected more this year. And, maybe I'm just still sad about that. And that's why I'm less excited.
Someone was saying, it was either Miyamoto or someone was saying that, they have other stuff, but they are really trying to stagger it. Like they want new stuff to show at Gamescom and CES and Tokyo Game Show and all the PAXs.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that we'll get a steady trickle as opposed to just having.
Hopefully. My fear was like, though, since like, let's say 75% of the stuff they showed was 2015 and beyond, like what are they staggering out? The 2016 releases, you know?
That's true.
I remember what I was going to say now. I was going to say that, Miyamoto showed his tablet stuff, and Griffin kind of responding to your comment about the tablet being here to stay. I thought Giant Robot was friggin' awesome, but I thought that camera game sucked, and I'm not... Star Fox sounds doopy as hell.
But they don't have any... We don't have any real information about Star Fox yet.
Well, there's a Time interview where they talk about the control scheme. I mean, who knows about Star Fox? But, like, they're very... They all look like small projects, I guess is what I would say. None of them are like, hey... Check out this showstopper that's going to tell you why the gamepad is that thing you need.
Yeah. Nobody has given that proof of concept yet, but they're still not saying, yep, you're right, should have got rid of it, just like that Kinect.
Yeah, I guess people were like really down on them, thinking like, oh, they're just going to have a weird regular Nintendo Direct, and they had better than a regular Nintendo Direct, and people are cool about that. And Reggie said, you thought we weren't going to have a press conference.
Reggie
like,
has a
that
doll
sass, that attitude.
Who says that? Who? Not Reggie. Not Nintendo.
Did Nintendo just name check Mother 3?
Whoa! What next? Whoa. Is Sony going to drop a Vib Ribbon reference?
Yeah, I don't know. I just wanted to see where you guys were on that. I guess because that was kind of people seem really excited, and I wasn't there, so I just wanted to see where you guys were. But it sounds like maybe, Jamie, you're a little bit more excited. Griffin, where are you at? Are you more excited yourself or just
about
kind
what?
Of above it all? Nintendo.
I fucking bought a Wii U.
Oh,
that's
my God.
How excited I am after this. I think Nintendo resonated with me the most because it's like big, cool things, like big, dumb toys and dumb games that look dumb, like Bayonetta is coming. And like you've got Mario Kart that people do like, probably for good reasons, even though I don't like it. But they're probably right. Like Smash Bros. Awesome. Like it's been how many years since I've played Smash Bros? A lot. Like there's just a lot of things to be really excited about for a Nintendo console. And Jamie, you mentioned this to me the other day, and I was thinking about it too. And I've heard some other people talk about the same sentiments you had, where it's like, you know, Nintendo makes a very specific kind of game for people who, where it kind of, it targets younger people, and it creates this kind of like baseline to start gaming. Like, it would suck if the world was full of people who grew up only playing Call of Duty. And it's really awesome that Nintendo is there to be that like first system for so many people to be like, hey, my foundation was Mario, not aliens versus plant buttholes or whatever.
Dude, talk to the kids. I was wearing a Zelda shirt the other day, and there are a bunch of kids, and they're like, that's Minecraft, isn't it?
That's fine. I mean, I think Minecraft
is
in that same thing.
Too. Yeah,
like,
it
it's
is.
In
it
that
is.
Same
it
level of creativity and content over.
And even for us as seasoned gamers, I feel like it provides an experience that no one else even tries to do. I think because they see it as the realm of Nintendo, and why even try? Like when I'll play some stuff on my PC and I'll play some stuff on the PS4, and it doesn't matter what it is. Could be indie games, could be big AAA shooters. When I turn on my Wii U, I'm playing something completely different. Yeah. It's almost like I'm not, I told you, Griffin, it's almost like I'm not playing video games anymore. It's like I'm playing Nintendo.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the only place I'm going to get it.
I completely agree. I think that they're the only company that would have the balls to put out like four major Wii U platformers.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Who else is making platformers other than Nintendo?
The balls or the naivety of just like making those dumb decisions that they've made forever. Be like, this is what we do, and we do it well.
Yeah, I mean, they are like my favorite gaming company. I just, I'm just worried about their future. But yeah, I mean, most of the stuff they showed, I was thrilled about. Like, I'm super excited for Canvas Curse or Rainbow Curse. Mm-hmm. Griffin, did you play Canvas Curse?
Nope.
Oh, you did you play it, Jamie?
Yes, I played your copy a lot.
Oh, nice. Okay. Yeah. Great game.
And it's awesome. I feel like the Wii U in some ways will be the system where Nintendo really leans into the concepts it's been trying over and over again for years, and now the system has enough power, and I feel like they kind of have the attitude where they're just like, screw it, just throw it all in the game. Like, 3D World is a gigantic game. I'm sure it's the largest 3D Mario game ever by, like, a long shot. There's
really?
Like,
you think it's bigger than Galaxy 2?
There are 4 bonus worlds.
Yeah, keep going. You'll see.
But there are 4 bonus worlds.
Keep going.
I'm in the third. They're
okay.
Pretty big. There's over 300 stars. There's stamps to collect. There's all this random
stuff. Yeah, I don't know. It felt smaller than Galaxy 2 to me, but it is a huge game. It's tons of ideas.
I feel like whereas the Galaxy series was, they came up with a bunch of ideas. Maybe they threw some out, and then the ones they kept, they really like refined and carved into this beautiful diamond of a game. And this is just like this giant coal heap of random shitty ideas for Mario, which they just toss into the bonus levels. And it's like kind of glorious. And it's like, why am I playing the same level again, but with only 30 seconds this time? And also there's like 5 times as many enemies and I can only be a cat. And like, but it's something about it that is just so Nintendo. I have to forgive it, even though I feel like they're kind of rehashing some stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like when they put out NES Remix, and everyone's like, "Oh my god, this is something that has been done with like fan mods for years." Except it's Nintendo, so it's got some weird like charm. It's basically Tamagotchi Life. What you're describing is Tamagotchi Life. It's like, this is something that has been done 1,000 times before. It might not be good at all, but it's Nintendo, and you just have to love them for it for some reason.
but somehow they're still superlative. Like 3D World is superlative, and Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze is superlative, and Pikmin is superlative. I'm sure the Zelda will be superlative. Superlative!
I'm sure it will. Well, I don't know. I've been kind of down on the most recent Zeldas. I think you have too, Jamie, right?
The recent console Zeldas, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Link Between Worlds was one of my favorite.
I have yet to try. Yeah.
Oh, you should play that one. It's pretty good.
It's quite good.
It's amazing.
Yeah. but the console Zeldas, they've all felt very barren to me, and unfortunately they just haven't addressed that yet in their talking points. I hope they do. I hope he says there'll be lots of NPCs. But I doubt it.
Nope.
Probably I'm not. Sure that Miyamoto looked at it and said, there's too many people.
I don't know. Put more
reading.
Bugs in it.
I hate words. I'm old. I can't see them.
No, but he wants more words. He wants to read every time you pick up a rupee. You get to read about the rupee again.
Was that Miyamoto, though?
His design choice? I don't know.
Well, no,
I mean, follow that. That was Skyward Sword, though, where it's like every rupee, it's like you're living this.
Well,
that
was Twilight Princess, actually. Skyward Sword, they didn't do that.
No, Skyward Sword, they had it. Like a new item description every time you find the same item again. Yeah,
maybe
I
for
did
the,
play
for the. Okay, for the quest items, maybe, but they actually explicitly said in Skyward Sword, they're like, yeah, we fucked up with the Twilight Princess rupee thing.
And well, like, I don't think they took it back enough, because it still kept happening over and over again.
See, I never minded that. I didn't mind the flow breaking as much as I minded just, like I said, just the worlds felt lifeless to me.
Yeah.
So until they address that. But what I was referencing, Griffin, actually is, you know how Miyamoto, in Sticker Star's development, Miyamoto said, stop it with the story already.
I didn't
More or
know
less.
That. That's a shame.
He was like, you need to pare that down.
Huh.
Oh, God.
No
I
new
like
characters.
Sticker Star, too. It's wild.
Yeah. I couldn't finish it. It didn't grab me at all. And I want to come back to it, but... Yeah, I really don't like what he said about that, so I'm worried that he'll do that to Zelda. But it looks like they're giving Aonuma his own.
Yeah, it also seems like he might be busy with other stuff.
Yeah, he's busy making security camera games. Where you fight Chozo robots.
Yeah. What is Miyamoto's hobby this year that influenced his games? Voyeurism.
He picked up Watch Dogs and he's like, oh, I understand.
Oh, my people.
And then he made his game.
Did we talk about Project Steam last time?
I don't think it was shown.
Do we want to talk more about the core? I think we pretty much wrapped all the core press conference stuff up here. Because we got EA, right? We talked about that maybe. I don't know.
We didn't talk about it, but they showed a lot of sports games and a lot of tech demos.
Yeah. I think we made enough jokes about that already through somewhere.
So I read a really good article, and it was by some higher – it was an interview, I forget where, and it was with some higher up at EA, and they asked him what was with your shitty press conference and all your offices and your wireframes and all that stuff. And he had a really good answer, and he was like, listen – if you think that any of the other games that you saw,
I'm a professional. Trailer...
What?
He said, I'm a professional.
I've been doing this for 26 years. God damn it.
Wow.
Probably people like saying, I've been doing this for 6 months.
But, I'm getting laid off tomorrow.
I was a financier. No, but his answer was good. His answer was like, he pointed out a bunch of games like Project Beast and some others.
Although that actually had footage which leaked online of actual gameplay. But yeah, go on.
And he said that we could do what they did and go to some CG house and tell them about our game and pay them billions of dollars to put together a trailer which has nothing to do with the game, but would appease you more. And we figured that this year we would just save the money and actually let you guys in on like where we actually are and not lie to you with some random CG like bullcrap that has nothing to do with anything. And he said like these games are actually a lot closer to being playable than some of these other projects that that people aren't
ready to show you yet.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure they I are. Mean, Yeah, of course.
I mean, I don't think he's wrong. I think what he's maybe missing is that EA kind of exemplifies like what's wrong with this E3, which is just that nothing is ready.
Mm-hmm.
And theirs was just the most blatant, I think, which is why they got a lot of flack. Also, people just hate EA because Andrew Wilson is a reptile.
Well, it's also really hard too. It smacks is just like just disgusting hypocrisy when they say something like that too. If they're like, well, we could spend $1 billion on a CG trailer like we did on Knights of the Old Republic every 3 months for 2 years. Every E3. You remember that when we did that? Okay, yes. You know, it's like, that is the company that brought you that $1 billion, was it Blink, that studio that does all those super amazing
Blur,
thank you. Yeah. Yep. Trailer from them every 3 months.
It's actually the band Blur.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Damon Albarn just sings it. La, 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 la. Sorry, go on.
Oh, and then it's also the company that's like, create your. Hey, we didn't do it right, so you tell us what you want us to do. We effed up Mass Effect, so however you want it. Like, how do you want your press conference? You want less video games? Okay.
Still doesn't really explain why they showed that dude with the long hair just sitting at the pub.
Yeah. Sometimes we do it at the bar. I've seen him before, but...
Even though I feel like that kind of thing appeals to the same people who enjoy watching like an unboxing video with high quality camera shots. Mm-hmm. And I count myself amongst those people.
I enjoyed. I wish there was more. I like seeing those things, and when I was reading the article, I kind of bought his argument, even if he is being a hypocrite.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like it excuses anything on the part of EA. I mean, I still feel like they're a terrible company, but I kind of understand what he's saying.
It strikes me as like a conspiracy theory argument where it's like, well, you know, if the government knew about it, then of course they wouldn't tell you, and they're not going to tell. And if you're finding this stuff, it's because they want you to find it. And there's actually a deeper truth. Like, it's this layer upon layer of like peeling back what they were actually doing. And that by seeing this real truth they're presenting, like, it makes it all excusable. It's like, no, their press conference was boring. That's the short. That's the truth of it.
I think I don't know. I think I'm between you guys again. I think that I agree with Jamie that I buy his argument. I do think that it didn't really address that elephant in the room, though, of just the fact that nobody has anything ready. I think that's kind of so. I think that's where the disconnect emerges. It's like, well, yeah, maybe. Like, I can believe
people
that.
People do have things ready. Games are ready.
Well, Ubisoft.
Yeah.
Those crazy French bastards.
Yeah.
Do you guys think that this is because, like, remember, like, rewind to before last year's E3, and everyone's what?
Sorry, go on.
I couldn't hear what you said.
I just did a stupid little rap thing.
Oh, no, that's necessary. I was expecting one of you would. And then think about how everyone's like, do we need a next console generation? Like, we don't really need a next console generation. Are people going to buy these consoles? Blah, 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 blah. And I feel like these companies might have been waiting to see like what happened. And I feel like it takes a long time to make a game. These companies are really slow.
Yeah.
And they're also really, really profit oriented, and they're really, really risk averse. So I feel like now that they know that people are buying these things, they might actually invest, but I feel like
I agree, Jamie.
Pumping the brakes.
No, I think they were caught with their pants down. I think that despite the rhetoric that you heard from a couple, I guess, prominent figures, you know, Activision, I think, was on record as wanting a new generation. I think they were waiting. They were like, okay, well, we can keep riding this if we need to, and we'll see what they do. We'll see if these things sell, and then we'll make games. I think you're completely right, Jamie.
There were plenty of conversations, like on Giant Bomb, for example, with developers. Well, the developers just kept saying over and over again, like, oh, I hope this generation lasts forever. Like, I'm really happy with this generation. They have all their, you know, development tools in place. They're just like, they're at the point where they're able to make stuff faster. And I feel like they maybe were dragging their heels.
Maybe. I really, I don't know. Like I said, I was kind of the person who was the most reluctant, I feel like, for new stuff. Although, I don't know. I don't know where you guys sat on that, but...
graphics!
Super pro new stuff. Newer the better.
I'm glad, I guess, that these
That's
are
why I'm buying a Wii U.
I'm glad that they kind of went for a middle road. I'm glad they didn't go big like they did last time. But, yeah. I don't know. But I think you might be onto something, Jamie, with your theory. I think it sounds pretty accurate, personally.
It's not a theory if it's real.
It's not a theory if an alien told it to me in a dream one time.
I have solid facts. Just look at them here. You can find them on my YouTube channel.
You can find them if you go to the moon.
It's called the Third
Tower.
That's
where I was. That's where I was last night with the alien whom I met in my dreams, and he took me there. He wrote a secret on the moon in color pencil.
I'm going to take a really fuzzy picture of Reggie Fils and me and like circle with like a red circle like the backside of his left shoe, and you're then like zoom in on it a lot. Why would anyone have a shoe like this?
You're going to find Halo 3 or Half-Life 3 in Reggie's shoe?
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
Good.
I'm not saying that Reggie is about to announce Metroid for the Sony PlayStation 4, but why would anyone have this shoe? That's what you need to put on NeoGAF.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like when he wore that pin and everybody was like, oh, he's totally going to do something with Metroid.
I mean, they did do something with Metroid, which is the stupid thing that they sometimes do at E3, where they don't show it. It's not clear how far along it is at all, but they're like, yeah, we're working on it.
They didn't do that, though.
No, they did. There's an interview that they gave where I think Miyamoto, I think it was Totillo, actually, was asking Miyamoto about Metroid specifically. He said, what's happened with Metroid? Like, hey, do you guys want to work on that still? Miyamoto said, yes. We want to work on it for 3D and 2D. He said, which one do you prefer? He said 3D. I'd like another game kind of like the shooters, the 3D shooters. And that's what was said. He said, this is what he said about 2D Metroid. He's like, well, we already have new Super Mario Brothers. So why do you need a new 2D Metroid?
Oh my god.
That's
he gets it.
Yeah, he gets it. But no, they did say Totillo pushed, and they were basically like, yeah, we're working on it. We got teams working on both of them.
Okay, well, still. That's like saying, they're like, yep, we got another Skylanders coming. We haven't given up on that one.
How'd you read that, Jamie?
I read that interview as, we're making one game, and in this game, there will be 3D and 2D parts with Metroid.
Really? I read that as, we're exploring both, and right now we would rather do 3D than 2D. But I don't know. It was kind of a...
Yeah, it could easily go either way. That's just how I...
Yeah. Well, you're wrong, Jamie, because Jeff is the... He's the vessel which contains... He is the mouthpiece of Nintendo's...
It's true.
Whispers.
He's the whisperer.
Yeah. Shigeru Miyamoto is astrally projecting into my body right now. He's just feeding me one word at a time. Every 24 hours.
That would explain the sudden interest in voyeurism.
I am one of those security cameras.
The feed goes both ways, Miyamoto.
I, in turn, am just sending him dick pics. In the hope that he'll make a new game based off Snapchat. Yeah, I don't know. It reminds me of the time when they showed for New Zelda, they're like, hey, look at this one piece of concept art, which is just Link holding a sword.
Right. Yeah. It's like the people that are going through the screen by screen, frame by frame analysis of the video that was shown for the New Zelda, where they're like, is Link a lady? His hookshot now has four barbs. What could that mean? The timeline is split once again.
Dude, that bow was pretty sweet, though.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah, it had charged up, man. Charged bows.
The analytics of that trailer is kind of, it grosses me out.
I mean, it's kind of gross, but it's also kind of cute in a way, because people are so excited. They love Nintendo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're fans. I don't have a problem with fans unless they get angry and hateful.
Yeah,
I think.
It's just like, you know, energy could be spent elsewhere instead of, you know, trying
Well, of course.
To,
I mean, this is video
out.
Games.
Well,
energy could be spent on much worthier pursuits.
Right. Yeah, obviously. But I'm saying instead of, like, if somebody releases a concept video, like back to the EA thing, it's like they show that video of the Stormtrooper getting blown up with a thermal detonator. And somebody's like, okay, frame-by-frame analysis of this, that means that in the game you'll have the ability to explode yourself with a thermal detonator. And you're like, that's probably not what that means.
Are you telling me, Griffin, you've never watched, like, a movie trailer or a game trailer more than once in a row?
No.
I've done it.
Never.
I'm nuclear!
Well, that one's just constantly playing.
Yeah.
Jamie, nice swoop in there.
That's why I was so cagey, because I do, that's what I do with Metal Gear, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we all have our vices, right? We all do that. I
right.
think it's fine.
But, yeah, I enjoy it, and I enjoy the stupidity of it.
Yeah, I mean, people, you know, look, when you set up an echo chamber like NeoGAF, everything just gets blown way out of proportion. Mm-hmm. I know there was some 14-minute game explain video that apparently was dissecting the Zelda trailer, and I was just like, this is too much. I can't do it.
No, that's what I was noticing. I was like, ugh.
Like I really enjoyed this 30 seconds of footage, but my only takeaway is, oh man, that bow is pretty cool, and I like the way Link looks.
Yeah. Yep. I like that eventually Link will just become a lady.
Nick Fury for the next
Samuel L. Jackson.
the Marvel Universe
Link.
And Zelda are crossing over.
So Link's first words is just going to be like, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Speaking of I'm nuclear, the giant bomb had a thing where Brad talked a lot about like the actual gameplay stuff that he saw. And did you guys like Peace Walker?
Yes.
Okay. I liked it. I don't know. I think
because Brad said this is Peace Walker, but console version.
Okay.
Yeah. I think I would like Peace Walker if it had better AI. So I think I'm okay with this.
It's like, apparently in Peace Walker, you can like recruit people and things to
you
your
can,
thing.
Yeah. You can use a Fulton recovery system, which basically just means attaching parachutes to things.
Yes.
And well, go ahead.
Now you can Fulton anything.
Yeah, you can attach them to like jeeps and goats.
Well, okay, so it's giving you a reward for playing stealthy. So instead of murdering a guy, if you put him to sleep, you then you get the bonus of taking him out of the field and adding him to your battalion or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's adding that reward to playing stealthy instead of being like, well, why shouldn't I just shoot this guy in the face and make him dead forever? Because there's no difference
As I understand it, Griff, Mother Base is now just like a place. Like you can actually walk around Mother Base.
Yeah, which you definitely couldn't do in Peace Walker.
Yeah, and if you fold in a Jeep, like Jamie said, it'll just be at Mother Base.
Maybe. I mean, obviously, I doubt that. I would love it if you could just have a pile of fucking Jeeps. Like you're like, we built this one strut. I mean, it's just a Jeep deposit.
Nobody knows yet just how deep it goes. But you can at least Fulton a Jeep.
The Jeep goes deep. And I think it's going to be more like, you know, you're dealing with sliders. Like you're getting more Jeeps. You're building up your whatever. Like in the previous game, if you had more Jeeps, you would increase your team's attack rating or whatever. You could like do it that way, like by getting equipment, it would boost your fake little boat battles, like Assassin's Creed boat battles in a certain way. So
I think it's actually gonna be just that watermelon stacking fad that happened when Oblivion came out.
So many watermelons
just spawning cheese wheels in Skyrim just to show how awesome your rig was.
Cheese wheel just,
you know that the PS4 can spawn 40% more Jeeps than the Xbox One. I don't know. I'm excited about that. I want to Fulton the goat.
Yeah,
that sounds more like Metal Gear humor. Super, you know, that sounds it sounds exactly more goofy. And
that's
like
what
I said,
gonna say.
Yeah, the popping out of the cardboard box that I told you guys about. It's really cute. I think you guys will both think it's really cute.
After hearing more about this game, I mean, on the last E3 one, I said that I thought that that Metal Gear was the bad Japanese crazy and that Nintendo was the good Japanese crazy, and now I'm kind of thinking that they're both good Japanese crazy.
Yeah, I mean, the last one did have a Monster Hunter crossover.
Yeah.
Don't forget that. which I think is a good thing.
Right.
I'm okay with that.
It's kind of weird to think about in the last game these characters were featured in. The kid would call you and be like, I saw this monster. He's like, I saw this monster in the forest, Snake, and it had a big head and strong teeth.
Can we put him in our compa?
and then in this game, he's like, they made me rape her. And you're like, God, so what?
It's so true.
So that's the bad side. Yeah, but then it's like you put a goat on the thing and it flies into the air. That's hilarious.
Yeah. He definitely took a bit of a hard right though with some of those story beats.
Cuz there's too many cheese wheels in this room.
Cuz I sound exactly like you now. It's gonna be really difficult to discern who's talking at any given moment.
Who said that?
Did you have that experience, Griffin, where you just couldn't?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I've never really liked Kaz as a character in any or in the previous games.
Yep.
Portable Ops and any of those things.
Yeah.
I don't know, but whatever.
Most of the Peace Walker characters just suck a lot of wang.
Yeah. Yeah. Except for Hot Cold Man.
Steve J. Blum. No, Steve Blum was not Hot Cold Man. He was the. He was the spy dude from the very beginning of the game.
Doing
his best terrible Russian accent.
Yeah, but it's so good.
Oh, God. Anywho.
Well, if it retains some of the cooler parts of Peace Walker, then I'll be really happy. And I trust that it will be taken in a good direction. Just like I'm starting to see the glimpses of big, dumb, happy, goofy Japanese sunlight coming through the cracks of the really austere, intense Metal Gear Solid 5 that's been shown so far.
Yeah. I mean, even Ground Zeroes felt kind of Peace Walker-esque to me. I mean, you do, like, rescue hostages, and you get, like you rescued 3 hostages now, and I'm like, wow, this is Peace Walker.
The little missions is what made me seem like it was Peace Walker, where it's like, go to the same location, and this time you'd leave in a Jeep. And you're like,
I think the biggest problem with Peace Walker was just the hardware didn't support like Metal Gear AI. Like the enemies were like even dumber than they usually are.
Yeah.
It just wasn't, I don't know. It just felt, it ended up feeling very rote because it was so broken and easily manipulated, I think. For me, anyway, which is why I kind of stopped. So I was just like, eh. I can be standing 10 feet in front of a guy as opposed to 9, and I just don't even register.
Who is that? Who goes there? Times were different in the 70s, man. People's vision cones were much smaller.
But in Ground Zeroes, it didn't seem that way. It was tough.
Yeah, it was.
So I'm not worried. But anyway.
Anyway, you guys want to talk about the post E3 announcements? Jibba Jabs?
Oh, yeah, Jamie, tell us about Codename Steam.
That's considered post E3?
Yeah, it was not part of the conference. Yeah,
post conference.
Oh, okay. It is, in my mind, the spiritual successor to Valkyria Chronicles, and I'd heard the name, and I had heard that's what it was, and I was like, yeah, whatever. I'm never gonna get another one of those. It's too good to be true.
I'm never gonna fall in love again.
But then I watched footage of it. And it's like exactly Valkyria Chronicles.
It's so unabashedly a ripoff.
Yeah, but it has that cool American comics. It has that cool American comics art style.
Yeah.
And
did they do Elite Beat Agents?
No, that was Innis, not okay. Intelligent Systems. Griffin, this is why you need to understand second parties. Uh-huh. They're the Fire Emblem guys.
Oh, okay.
And Advance Wars guys. So this is basically their bread and butter, tactical RPGs.
Oh, I just meant the art style. Like, I watched a clip of it, and there was like somebody threw a fucking eagle, and it like flew into the air and exploded. And I was like, that seems very Elite Beat Agent. Like,
I see.
It does. It does remind me of that a little bit. I like how it's got the comics look, but also kind of the comics movement, like that. They don't completely animate the movement of the people during the cutscenes. It's kind of like they jump from one pose to another. It's kind of cool. If you haven't you haven't seen it, take a look. And yeah, like besides that, like the character art, the environmental art looks great and all that stuff. It really is Valkyria. Like you have like a bar that is full when your character starts the move, the turn, and decreases as your character moves, shoots, jumps, etc. And you can do the thing that you could do in Valkyria, which really set it apart, where you can set up your characters so that on the enemy's turn, you can interrupt their turn, which is really fun.
Overwatcher, this.
Exactly. And it's going to... This gives me the opportunity to hear Japanese people say Eburhamu Rinkanu for the next like year or whatever until it comes out.
I also people on the internet hated the art style, so you know it's going to be good.
Yes, exactly.
I think it looks a little bit game lofty in still pictures, but I think in motion it looks fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, it's a 3DS, right? So you can't like put the most breathtaking cutting edge things on that thing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's been some beautiful games on there, but yeah, no, I know what you're saying.
But it's never the kind of beautiful that really like stands out from pictures. Like you don't get a sense for how pretty A Link to the Past is until you play it.
Exactly. Yeah. Just because it's a small screen, I mean, when you view things in native resolution, it looks a lot different than viewing a tiny picture on a 1080p screen.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree.
Abraham Lincoln.
Not one, but two Abraham Lincoln references in the Nintendo conference and following events.
Wow.
And you thought Reggie Fils-Aimé was played out.
Holy shit, here we go.
Pharrell
was not there.
For all their awkwardness, I think the whole treehouse thing actually was pretty cool.
Oh, I loved it. I thought it was great. I think that's why they were talked about so much. They had stuff going and going and going, like, all the way to the end.
Yeah.
And they really showed it. Like, they really showed Xenoblade. Like, showed a ton of that game.
I was less excited after watching that game being played. Aww. I'll be honest.
I'm still hopeful. It'll all depend on the story for me.
Story looks like it's taking way more of a backseat in this one. But that could just be a demo syndrome. I don't know.
I think that they really wanted to show the world, the combat system.
I hope so.
I've heard it's very Monster Hunter-esque. Is that...
You mean Xenoblade the series, or...
This
have
new
you played
game.
Xenoblade?
No.
Oh, this new one?
Yeah.
It looks exactly like the old one. The gameplay looks almost identical.
What Griffin might be referring to is that some of the bosses are, like, much, much, much bigger.
It definitely has more scope to it in terms of, like, some monsters are towering.
Okay, well, I guess when I hear Monster Hunter, I think, like, animation priority, slow movement, and, rote memorization of bosses.
I mean, maybe. I mean, there was some animation priority stuff going on in Xenoblade. Mm. You know, you had that stuff that you could only activate from certain places, and you could interrupt and cancel attacks if you timed your attacks right.
Okay.
How deep did you get, Griff, in that game?
I didn't play it because it costs like 11 gajillion dollars.
Oh, okay. It might be back down to 50 or 60 now.
Yeah,
it's
actually reasonable.
Yeah, it's definitely worth your time. I would definitely get into it. It looks exactly the same combat-wise. The only difference is you now have a gun that can do, like, Devil May Cry-style range damage. All like, right. You know, I lots like of guns. Small chip damage.
Do they have vehicles that I can transform and shoot shit with?
Jimmy, did they show vehicles at all? I didn't get there.
No, I mean, that's what's in Xenoblade, the new one, the X game.
Yes, they have vehicles. I mean, I was just wondering if they showed them, though.
I don't remember seeing any vehicles, and I did watch a huge chunk of that.
But they've shown it before, where they're like, you turn into your robot transforms,
yeah.
And then you beat the crap out of something.
Yeah, that's the thing. Pretty
Thank
sweet.
God. I wasn't just imagining that.
They did say, like, they did drop words like philosophical, which gave me a little college textbook boner. So I'm hopeful.
Philosophical.
Is there references to the id and Freudian psychology within this video?
I hope we just get a lot more Nietzsche.
Excellent. Yeah. How many times will they mention the word Zohar?
Hopefully all the time.
Okay.
I thought the characters in Xenoblade were kind of like instantly charming in a stupid Saturday morning kind of way. And it seemed like there was some cool stuff going on there. And this one, you create a character, which was like a warning sign number one to me. Like, you create your stupid, you know, silent protagonist, and I'm like, wait, like, last time the protagonist talked all the time, and he was a whiny teenager, and I was okay with that, because he was a charming one. No, he was a good one.
I'd rather have none.
He was good, I promise. I promise.
Whiny, annoying teenager?
He was a good whiny teenager, trust me. I know the difference between good and bad whiny teenagers.
I don't know, man.
Jamie, you played it, right?
Played what?
Xenoblade original?
Yeah, but I didn't get very far at all.
Did you find lead character to be an annoying whiny teenager?
I can't remember.
Okay. You should play it, Griff. It's really good.
Yeah.
Okay.
You could just play it emulated like I did, which is probably why I stopped playing it.
Yeah.
Because I played it emulated.
Yep. How could you do that?
It's theft.
I thought you owned it as well, though. I thought you bought it, but then you emulated it.
No, I think I had always been emulating it.
That's how you just wanted to spite GameStop. So how you're like, fuck you, Project Rainfall. I'm buying your game.
No,
sell it back,
bucks.
And then I'm going to emulate it.
It was $50 when you got it, I'm pretty sure.
I'm pretty sure.
No, I'm not saying you bought it. I'm saying it was when you did whatever you did, it was $50. It was, you know,
it was
launched.
$10 off a regular priced Wii game is what I remember.
Oh, you know why I did it? Because I saw you playing it at
home.
Oh,
yeah.
And I literally couldn't stand how awful it looked.
It was very janky.
Yeah, and so I said, it would be great to play this, but I want to play it. I wish they released a version on the computer where it was in 1080p and it was really sharp. And I was like, wait, I can do that myself. And I kind of did, and it kind of worked, but then it was just a hassle.
Yeah.
I should go back and just do it.
Jamie, if you... Okay, you could either smear Vaseline on the screen, which is a great solution, or if you just keep at it for like 3 or 4 hours, that'll go away.
Yeah, like you get
You'll
used
forget.
To it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, I don't think my current television, does a very good job of upscaling Wii content. Also, the Wii U has a built-in upscaler, so that means that your TV won't be doing the work to upscale the content, so it'll look a little bit better.
What do you know what it upscales it to?
Probably 720.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, and then the TV will handle the rest. I'm not sure. It might upscale to 1080, but all that means is that it cleans up the image. It's not going to upres it, but it just means that the Wii U's dedicated upscaler, which is built for video games, is going to be handling your content rather than the thing that handles everything that is thrown at it, which is your TV.
Gotcha.
So it'll look a little crisper, colors won't wash as much, stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with if the textures are muddy but the edges are sharp, I'm down.
Yeah, I've already played it and it does look better on the Wii U. So.
Cool.
What if I have a sub drive on my TV? Will that work better then?
I'll get back to you once I do.
Okay.
Oh. Do I have a sub drive?
Join you. Yeah, you're in the sub drive club.
Yes!
Griffin used the words that describe the technology for plasma without helping me understand how that is a thing. do you know? Or do you
Oh yeah. I when I bought my TV, I learned a ton about plasma TVs. And,
does it have something to do with e-tanks?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. It does. And your affinity. You have to always be aware of that. Like, how did you align? Chaotic good?
Oh, I thought you meant like your elemental affinity, you know, like earth, wind, fire.
Yeah, that too. Okay. Music. Yep. Yeah. Electricity.
Gotcha. Okay, good.
Passion of the heart.
Yes. Well, of course.
Aerosmith.
They took my face.
Anyway, I don't know if there's too many other things we want to talk about. Post E3, it looks like there's a lot of bullet points here. Is there any big ones, Jeff, that you wrote down that you're dying to pay homage to?
Let me see.
You want to pour one out for your game trailers, friends?
Oh, yeah. We'll talk about that real quick. I have recently really started to enjoy game trailers. There's been some cool stuff on there. Probably the person who brought me over was Kyle Bosman, cool dude. He's been doing some great videos that people should watch. They were just purchased by Defy Media, who owns such illustrious outlets as Smosh Gaming.
And Gamer Fuel.
Yeah, but they actually also own The Escapist, which is where Jim Sterling works. So I can't shit on them too bad.
Okay.
They laid off a bunch of people, and it's sad because, you know, gaming media is not really an easy space to be in right now.
Not a stable career.
No, not at all. Not much to say there, though, other than that happening. Oh, also, one other thing. Final Fantasy Type-O, that game that was on PSP that everyone was, like, pushing for so hard to come to Vita, is coming to the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and not the Vita. And the best part is... they accidentally posted it on the PlayStation Vita blog as like a confirmation. And then they're like, oh, actually, we meant to put that on the PS4 page. It's not coming to Vita.
Yeah, that was the so Final Fantasy awesome. Agito, the card-ish card gaming game.
Well, it had card. Okay, I haven't played it, so I'm not
it's
sure.
It's like
I
the think cell it... phone game card game that looks like a bunch of hot trash that people are like, it's the third pillar in the Crystal Novica Chronicles.
No. You're confused, Griffin. There's two... Okay, let me give you the whole backstory quickly.
All right,
there's
great.
Agito, which
me.
Was originally announced for mobile phones, okay? Uh-huh. Yep. Then they were like, okay, fuck that. We're not doing that anymore. We're actually going to make it as Type-O, and it's coming to the PSP. Mm-hmm. And they turned it into like a proper game rather than just like kind of a shitty mobile phone title. Mm-hmm. And then Type-O came out, got, you know, positive reception in Japan. Weeaboo fan people wanted it to be imported, pushed really hard, blah, blah, blah. That's the thing that's now coming to the Xbox One and PS4. There's also, after this was a success, they re-announced Final Fantasy Agito for iOS and Android. And what now that's fuck? Also, yeah, now that's also coming westward.
Square, you're the literal worst of everything.
Don't fight it, Griffin.
No, it's disgusting.
Let it go.
Yeah.
Let it go.
Happy Wars is coming to the Xbox One.
Oh, finally.
That's in my notes. I don't even know what that is.
Yeah.
I think it's like a come play my
is Lord Castle Crashers coming to the new systems? Because God, that's not on enough things out there.
Happy Wars is like a really shitty looking mobile game. It looked like the most derivative tower defense game of all time, possibly. Mm. Like I respect tower defense, but this is like a really shitty, like pay to win type tower defense.
Ah.
Yeah, it looked awful. But I don't have anything else. Oh, also Demon's Crest for the Virtual Console. That was a great game. You guys play that game?
Nope.
Okay.
What is that?
It's a Super Nintendo game where you control a like gargoyle dude, and he gets cool transformations, and there's lots of weird secret levels, and it's just a strange little game.
Is it a Capcom game?
It is a Capcom game.
Is it after really Gargoyle's Quest?
Same dude, I think.
Okay, so it's like the alternate universe of Ghosts and Goblins sort of thing?
Yeah, but yeah, it's Firebrand, but he's like serious. Yep. He's like... It's like not fucking around.
Yeah. So. Like, I eat babies. Blah.
Yeah, but it's a really cool game. You guys, you should grab it when it hits the virtual console. It's worth your time. I'll let you guys know and tell you to buy it. Because it's really good.
It's for what system originally?
Super Nintendo.
Oh, so maybe I'll like just buy it for that.
Are you good? This is like the glory days of Capcom, so you got to grab them. All those Super Nintendo games.
Grab them.
Glory days.
What was the game where they go grab him? Oh, it was Oblivion. When you commit a crime, the guards go grab him.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's all. That's
that
all
ends E3 of 2014. So we're not going to talk about E3 anymore.
Sony's making a DayZ clone for PC.
Sony is?
Yeah.
What is
Sony
that?
Sony Online Entertainment. The EverQuest people.
What is the game?
H1Z1?
Oh, yeah, sure. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, that's all.
You got any more you want to squeak out there, Jeff?
Surgeon Simulator PS4. Because why not?
Yeah. So close with my GOAT prediction. Anyway, let's talk about our official 2014 E3 predictions. Revisited. Cow, cow, cow.
Silence.
I've got the list up here. We'll go through these very quickly. Speed of light. Who got things right? Jeff, you already made the analysis. Bullshit on that one.
Griffin, read your predictions.
I will read my predictions. My prediction first is... I said Nintendo does not announce a new Metroid game, which is correct.
Okay, they didn't announce a new Metroid game, but they talked about Metroid, so you win.
Well,
you're
yes,
right.
No, yeah. That you could say that Nintendo talked about a Pokemon game. Nintendo talked about all of their brands.
Can we talk about announce as if it's like some kind of weird threshold?
Yeah,
like ejaculate,
right?
Like did pre-announcing.
They, but they didn't announce an alpha, so it doesn't count. Project
I heard
Beast.
I heard you can get announcements from pre-announcements. Wait. You can get trailers from pre-announcements. Go ahead, Griff. Sorry.
My second prediction was Project Beast is shown at Sony press conference. Sadly, it is not related to the Shadow of the Beast, and we will never hear anything about that game. So far, that seems right.
Yep.
At least, yeah. So sad. We've got Microsoft, third one, Microsoft makes good on games, and announces two not yet confirmed Xbox One exclusive titles, which I guess was wrong, since they didn't say two exclusive titles.
Yeah.
But they did do the games thing, so that was good for them. Lost for me, good for Microsoft.
Yes.
Unless you want to consider some weird... loose end, there's some weird like little garbagey things, but yeah, whatever.
Go maybe, on, Griffin.
Speaking of garbagey things, The Last Guardian was not shown during the press conference, which means I am right.
Fuck you.
That thing needs to go and die in a fire.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
Shadow of the Colossus is like an amazing game that touched me in ways that you don't understand.
Shadow of the Colossus is an amazing game. I would buy a figure of it.
I'm going to stroke my neck beard so much. It's going to come.
It was an amazing game, but that doesn't mean the next game is going to be amazing when it's taken like 12 years to develop it.
We don't know.
Oh, you're right. You're absolutely right. We don't know. Speaking of we don't know, I predicted that Goat Simulator would be shown in a scissor reel, and unfortunately that was not true.
Okay. Should we just read our different things?
Yeah.
I guess so. Okay. So I said, Nintendo does announce an FPS Metroid game for Wii U developed by Retro. Nebulous release date. 2D Metroid never mentioned again. Jeff cries. I said wrong. Damn it. Announce it for 3DS, you assholes. Yeah, they didn't announce anything. They did talk about it, which I guess is what I realistically should have gone for. But I really thought they were going to announce it, but they didn't. But at least they mentioned that they haven't forgotten the series exists, which is enough for me.
Right. Of their 8 properties, they still got that one.
Well, for Star Fox, for the longest time, transitioning to the next one, they pretended like, oh, it's not even a thing. Okay, Star Fox is announced as a digital-only title for Wii U that manages to disappoint everyone somehow. So there's a lot of stuff here that is not entirely confirmed. I still think I'm the Nintendo whisperer for predicting that being a thing.
Yeah, I'd give you full points on that.
Totally. Like, you nailed it so imperfectly that it's perfect.
Exactly. We don't know yet if it's going to be disappointing, but it does sound weird, which could be a good thing. Okay.
We don't know if it's digital only. We don't know if it is only for the Wii U. It could be for tablets, for all we know. Like, so
it sounds like, I mean, given the scope of the other two projects, it probably is digital, but right. Who knows with him? I mean, you know, that's a weird ass company.
Right. The fact is nothing was actually concretely said in the press conference about it. It was shown in a blurred screen.
Yes.
But there was that time leak and interview that happened beforehand.
Yeah, and Miyamoto announced it during the Treehouse event. He said, you know, Star Fox is a thing I'm working on, which we're not going to show you.
Sure. Yep.
That is the blurred screen.
Yep. If you couldn't tell, this spaceship.
Next I said Last Guardian is coming this fall to PS4. Clearly I was dead wrong on that one. Still sad about that. Next I said Platinum Games is making something for Xbox One. Teaser video shown. I said original idea was Rare getting to make another Banjo game, but that doesn't actually happen, and Rare faces imminent closure. I think I'm pretty right about that one. certainly, I was right about the Xbox One thing, although I feel like I cheated there because I just copied and pasted off of a list of predictions that had thus far proven accurate. Last one is NFP is rebranded, which really should be Griffin's prediction, not mine, but I think we all kind of agreed about that. And yeah, that happened.
Yeah, you said it. I just yelled about it.
Yeah. Go ahead, Jamie. You got them all.
My first one is Mirror's Edge 2 is holiday 2014. No. New Red Dead Redemption, no. No Red Dead Redemption ever again. Star Fox isn't dead, no. You got that one right. Wii U refresh, no. Tomb Raider takes place in space.
Pretty accurate.
Yeah. You called that new Tomb Raider being a thing. I think it's fair.
New 3D Mario game? Nope. new Zelda is young. That is correct. And Resident Evil? Nope.
I think it's still happening, Jamie. I really do.
With a stationary camera?
They're gonna do something. They're gonna make it more like Revelations. I think. I think they're gonna learn their lesson. But although it is Capcom, so
I hope so. Yeah. I had a prediction that they would create an for Xbox One an NFL app where a football could be thrown either in game or on TV, and the football would be thrown into the other. Yeah. that was wrong.
Peeling back the cynicism there, I think that's really interesting that Microsoft did not show off their, like, dudes, how do you want to connect to SportsCenter and do your fantasy footballs?
Yeah, they were the most on point, I think, with all games.
I mean, compared to the previous press conferences they've had, this was, like, pretty
night and day.
Yeah, it was a tight experience.
It's a great way to get people on Phil Spencer's side or page or whatever. Yeah. Great way to start off. So.
Infamous Golf Second Fly. Son, Golf Two Fly. Third Son, direct sequel, more Delson is not quite right.
I think you got that.
I think you nailed it.
Yeah. That was...
I never would have imagined Fetch, though, and I'm super happy about that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Would have picked the most interesting character.
Yeah.
I love standalone DLCs because, hey, maybe I can pay $15 and get a comparable experience.
Yeah, I think that you just might.
I don't think you will.
Maybe it's a more focused experience. Maybe it stand. Maybe as a bite of Infamous, it is a more satisfying bite.
I disagree because what makes Infamous so good is playing it on the PS4.
Wait, I don't understand.
Like the graphical fidelity, the facial features, like all the hardware ability that game is pushing, the ways they use the controller. That's what makes that thing so awesome.
Wait, but isn't this also on PS4?
Oh, I thought it was Vita only.
No.
Oh. This is PS4.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
never mind.
That's why Jamie was like completely dead on. I could not believe that they announced an Infamous thing.
I just thought they would capitalize on that in some way.
You were right.
They were happy with that. Mass Effect was correct, but no Shepard.
Yeah.
Shepard.
I don't know if we're gonna get the next one with Shepard. I don't know if she's actually. He or she is actually done. I don't know.
It sounds like they're going to try to move to different people. I hope
they
do.
Neil Armstrong the entire game.
Robo zombie Neil Armstrong.
Yep. Just like the end of Mass Effect 3.
You know, I liked what they were saying. I thought that here's the thing. So Mass Effect for me, I like the concept, and I in theory I would have liked the games. I found myself getting bored with weird things, and it's like. That stupid conceptual prototype video addressed the things that I was bored with, like the environments.
Hmm.
So I'm excited, actually. All I'm not going to lie. Even though they showed next to nothing.
Well.
Because I thought one of the weakest things in those games was just the hallways.
It's a lot of hallways. Yeah. A lot of elevators.
Yes. I only got like 4 hours in, to be fair, but.
Did I tell you guys how Shannon reacted to Mass Effect 2 when I started playing it?
No.
Uh-uh.
So in the very beginning of Mass Effect 2, you are walking down a hallway, and then some enemy robots come out from behind a crate. And Shannon was watching me play, and she says, pause the game. So I paused it. And I'm like, what's up? And she said, where do those robots come from? And I said, I don't know. They were behind the crate. And she's like, why were they behind the crate? And I was like, I don't know, because it's a hallway and there was a crate and there was robots behind it and they wanted to kill me. And she's like, go behind the crate. So I walked around the crate and there was like nothing behind the crate. And she was like, so you're telling me there were just two enemy robots just sitting there, just waiting for you. They were just waiting for you forever. And I said, yes.
So now Mass Effect is ruined for you forever.
Yes.
You're like, check out Dead Space. Check out Doom. Check out every video game ever made. Let's go on this journey.
This is the thing that people who don't play games sometimes do, which is just highlight the most absurd things that we just take for granted and accept.
I think that, Jamie, we need to ditch this Aerosmith idea, and we need to make Monster Closet the game, which is just you in a fucking room in first-person mode, and then the door opens. And then you stumble out of it, and... You go a lot of ways with that. There's my concept.
Is the sex shown or no?
Through voyeur TV cam only. Available
through,
only on
through
Nintendo.
The powers of the Wii U gamepad.
Yeah, yeah.
You can see every angle of his butthole. You just have the pube cam.
Ugh. It's all pixelated. Why'd even bother?
We need a great catchy name for the groat cam. Oh my gosh. I'm sorry. I probably shouldn't say this. This is a family podcast.
The Ami Scroat.
The Ami Scroat. GoPro?
The Goat Pro?
Groat Pro? Oh no.
You better be. We got work to do. Jeez.
Yeah.
Speaking of work to do, you guys want to talk about Destiny?
Sure.
Yeah,
I'm talking about Destiny. Go ahead, Griffin. Tell us about Destiny. What's that?
Well, that was shown off during E3 quite a bit and in the previous years before. We all got tickets into the quote-unquote alpha through some way or another, and essentially it was a demo with a selection of levels and a cap for the game, a level cap. And it was our first look at the hot new title from the Halo peeps, Bungie, for the current gen console. And it's called Destiny, and it's an MMO first-person shooter.
That it is. Played like a cross between Borderlands and Halo.
Some would say a cross between Borderlands and Galo.
Hey, no. Shallow.
I like your reach, Jamie.
Yep. I thought that when I played it at first, I thought it was terrible. And I was like, oh, there's no one here except this janitor robot. And I hate this. And there's no character at all to the world and blah, blah, blah. And then I played with you guys and I realized that that's definitely not what they're going for at all. And what they made is a pretty fun Borderlands Halo game.
Yeah, it's Borderlands with more slick space looking.
Yeah. It's WoW meets Borderlands.
Yeah. Also, that wizard came from the moon.
It's the Titanfall of Borderlands.
Yeah, I think we all had a good time with the amount of time we spent with it. Sounds like you guys are ready to be done. I think upon reflection, I'm probably there too. I'm a little more naive, I think, with the whole MMO scene. So I think I'm more ready to be trapped. But
suddenly Jeff finds himself in a guild crafting netherweave bags 24/7, asking himself what is he doing with himself playing with the Australians.
The fact that you guys are both done with it means that I'm also done with it because I don't want to play with random dudes.
Yeah.
It was fun.
We cleaned it out. Like, I don't know how much more. Maybe Jamie, you can speak more to this from your own experiences. But like Jeff, you haven't had that moment of playing an MMO like it's a job. So maybe that's why you don't feel like you're done. Yeah. Like I feel like I've squeezed every bit of content out of that game now.
You did play for like a solid 10 hours.
At least, yeah. That's pretty accurate. Like it was a solid, it was just like a 2 and then a solid 10 straight.
Like you kept saying like, I'm going to go somewhere after we're done. And yeah. Then, like I would come back and you'd be like, I'm still playing.
I'm still here, guys. I got to get the new speeder bike.
Griffin, I think you have a problem.
I do, but I do, but I have a self-regulating problem where I will hit a point where I get bored with it, and I'm like, okay, I'm good, which is where I'm at now.
Yes, you're very lucky.
So,
I think for like the person who does this kind of stuff and enjoys it, it seemed like maybe it wasn't necessarily going to open up in ways that were really fulfilling. Like I felt like even in the early stages, some of the perks seemed kind of like statty and not very. They didn't really fundamentally alter the gameplay. And I think that's what's good about Borderlands. Like when you get a perk, like you do weird shit. Like suddenly your character explodes and the main character or something. Yeah.
Even if it's a passive thing, it does seem like a big deal where it's a one in ten chance of getting all your ammo back. And you're like,
exactly.
What?
Whereas it's in ridiculous. This game, it's like, hey, now your grenade's splash range is increased by 0.2%.
Right.
Right. And that's a little troubling at such an early phase to encounter a lot of that.
Right.
But I think that we might be actually better served with the Borderlands pre-sequel, which is coming out October. So.
Yeah. Or just Borderlands 2.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I don't know. A lot of people who, like Justin McElroy, for instance, who were totally down on the pre-sequel when they saw it, were more excited.
You gotta sell, like the big takeaway is you're playing on the moon, where there are maybe or maybe not wizards in this game, but I hear that's where they come from. But you're on the moon and there's no air, so when you exit any kind of building or structure, now you have to, not only do you have to manage your health and your shield, but you always have the constant tick down, like the sickest awful water level of breath of air, which you can refill in certain ways, but it's still like, that is the least fun thing about that, like claustrophobia of video game suffocation is the least enjoyable thing to me.
The thing I always hated about water levels is just the terrible physics, honestly.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited.
The tension of almost drowning is kind of exciting. Yeah, it creates some fun moments. Like, don't you remember yelling at Chemical Plant Zone in Sonic 2? When you were terrible and couldn't get through it? Like, come on.
Yeah.
And as a kid, those platforming challenges, like, they're not that bad now. But as a kid, that was, like, the hardest thing in the world.
Yeah,
like, I could not make it up those staircases that moved around.
But
I would yell.
It limits your exploration of the world. So it's like you don't have the ability to go check out nooks and crannies or find new areas. Like it's kind of like the Dark Souls 2 thing where it's like, oh, you're going to punish me this severely for dying? Well, then I'm just going to stay on the beaten path.
But has Borderlands ever really been about like exploring beautiful vistas? I mean, it's
it actually has
get
been.
In your thing and, and go really fast.
It
and
has
kill the
been
dudes.
About exploring areas, investigating new things, and taking on different areas and like going on side quests. It definitely has been.
I guess so. I mean, I did do the whole first game, and I guess you become intimately familiar with the area, but I never really felt like I was like uncovering some like beautiful new vista or something that I needed to take in and revel in. It was more just like, okay, now I'm going to run to this point on the map.
Right. It might not be a vista, but it's like, oh, there's a little weird house over there. I'm going to check it out and see if there's a loot crate in the bottom of it.
But does the air thing necessarily ruin that? Or
yes.
We don't
know yet. It does to me.
Have you watched the footage of it? I haven't seen it yet.
I have watched footage. I understand how the air thing works, and if you're gonna artificially like alter that, and that be like the new thing I need to manage, I'm not interested.
Well, also you just don't like Claptrap because you don't like funny things.
Yeah, Claptrap's fine.
Weird.
I don't think he's in the game though, so that's good.
Wait, you just said he's fine, and you said it's good that he's not there.
Claptrap is played out, man. Like
you
he's done.
Him clap fat.
Clap flat, flat, flat.
You guys ever tried clap fapping? The whole new game.
Available on the Wii U.
Miyamoto's new tablet project.
Yeah.
He played Monster Mon Piece. Griffin, have you played that yet?
No, it's out, but it's too much money for me to buy. Because I don't know how the video game part of it is.
Wait a minute. I thought you game-flied it.
For the Vita?
Isn't you can't game.
It's download only. Isn't it?
Oh, I don't know. I thought you were going to jack off your Vita, man.
I do want to, but I need to see some merit for the actual gameplay. Like, is it just a card battler, or is there something more?
No, you're playing this game for creepy underage representations of women. There's no other reason to play Monster Mon Beats.
Is it a horse trash card battler that I can't play and get more booby cards? Or is it something that might actually be like, you know, reasonable that I can get through to get more booby cards?
I can't tell whether you have like a wonderful naivete about these games or you're being like completely sarcastic right now.
Does it have too many systems in it and weird things that aren't Yu-Gi-Oh for me to not understand it? Or is it really basic and just going to be like, fine, you're here for the booby cards. We know.
I think it's going to have systems. That's my guess.
Gross. That's why I don't know.
So wait, you want them to just give you the booby cards or you don't want them to give you the booby cards?
I
want to
work for them, but not really that hard.
Could you write like a thesis just like describing your motivations and like what you want out of this game?
Yeah.
Yes.
I would say,
I really want to know. I really want like a really concise like
dear monster to whom it may concern.
I want something I can refer to whenever you talk about it so I know what you mean and where you're coming from.
Oh, I'll be coming from somewhere there.
Oh!
I want this game to be the peanut butter and jelly sandwich of approachability, not some insanely complex foie
thing. Here's the only question you need to ask. Can you play it one-handed?
Well, yeah, of course you can. It's a card-based strategy game.
Oh, my goodness. I really want you to buy it.
I might, for the right price. It's just $35 is too much for a game that I might not be able to play.
Are you just mad that they removed the most blatantly lolly girls?
Yeah, livid. Yep, I will. I refuse to play it until they create the expansion, the AO only version of it.
So sick of this damn censorship.
That's right. What is this, Australia?
Do you want me to Google pictures of underage women?
Put another shrimp on the Barbie. Am I right, brother?
What were we talking about?
We were talking about, I don't know. Destiny.
Borderlands, the pre-sequel.
Right, yeah. And how much Claptrap is played out.
Than Destiny, maybe.
Yeah. We all agreed on that.
I like shooting that tank. It was a very healthy tank, though. We were shooting that tank for like a solid 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Even when we weren't dying, it took us a long time to shoot that tank.
That's just classic MMO boss battles.
Yeah. Whereas it feels like in that doesn't happen.
Gotcha. Yeah. The tank boss. Yep, the spider tank. I thought you meant the multiplayer when you were driving the tank.
Yeah, Borderlands has healthy enemies, but not that healthy.
No, you're right. Yeah, absolutely. Like, the bad ones are the ones where you're like, ugh, this is taking forever. But
yeah, it's weird to get, like, a headshot, and then, like, it's like, oh, you got a headshot. I guess that's cool. Like, hey, you did 20% more damage.
Yeah. That now that you bring that up, that does kind of make me wonder, like, those were pretty slow moving boss fights. You don't want to overpower them, but I mean, it was kind of tedious.
I mean, we were having fun the whole time, but who knows how much of that was just camaraderie and friendship and how much of that was really quality game design.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of, I guess that'll emerge when the full game comes out. But.
Sure. And I mean, possibly part of it too is like the limited scope of the demo alpha. The alpha demo is like, you know, maybe in the next game or in the full game, you'll have the capacity to make different upgrades and get new abilities or at least, you know, have different armor types or whatever to like improve your odds against it. So it doesn't just feel like we're beating our heads against something really slowly.
Yeah, you're not going to be beating your head until you get Monster Bone Piece. I was going to say, I thought it looked really good. I thought it was gorgeous.
Yeah, it's pretty.
Yeah.
It's got a great art style. I like it. I like a good, clean future.
Nothing but an MMO with an art style.
Clean lady faces only.
Yeah, I got that mod installed. makes my robot sound more robot-y.
My lady had a little orange like mohawk thing. That was pretty cool. I was into that.
Yeah. Surprisingly enjoyable character creator for a console experience, I think.
Yep. Very MMO-ish hub world where you, for some reason, just get drawn out into the third person, even though the entire game is first person.
So you can look at yourself. That's why.
Fab.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what's the point of having like an MMO where you're collecting loot so you can see that loot? So you may as well pull out in the non-combat area and spray it everywhere.
I loved how our two female characters, Jeff, would be dancing together, and then just randos would come up and just park themselves
and just wave, just wave at us.
Yep.
One thing I actually really enjoyed was how I jumped on a roof of a store when we were all winding down for the night. It was like kind of a tricky jump, and I just started dancing with the dude, and he also danced back. And I was like, "This is cute."
Yeah,
you're adorable. You really have.
Welcome to the MMO experience, Jeff.
Yeah.
Please don't play this game for 300 hours.
Oh, God, no, please. No way.
No, do it.
There's no.
Actually,
risk.
I changed my main. Do it.
No, it's. I mean, look, it looks really nice, but it's not. It's not as fun as Borderlands, and I'm done. I'm tired of Borderlands, so I don't think I really have that bug. Like, I don't think I'll ever have that bug.
Yeah,
so.
The Borderlands thing for me is like you have a fun world to be in. Like, you have an objective, you have goofy things, like it's big dumb fun. And this one seems a little bit more serious. So
yeah,
this
way more
demo,
aimless.
Yeah, it didn't give you any objective. It didn't give you any real reason to like be here except for like you're a quest man. Do your quests.
Yeah. So. Collect the ether sups. Sup on ethers tonight.
Get that synth wires. Sapphire wire, baby.
Like to visit my summer villa in Italy and sup on ethers every night.
My name's Steven Tyler, and my next album is The Sapphire Wire.
Dude looks like a lady.
That just reminded me of, I was telling Griffin, like the very first episode of Futurama where the professor is like, oh, I've got this spaceship over here, and then I've got this drawer filled with several lengths of wire. Come look at my lengths of wire.
Yeah, if you go into this game thinking, like, I've played all these things before, and this will do something different, it certainly does not. Like, you're going looking for gork tusk livers, you're getting new weapons and item caches, like, you're doing all the things that have been done in games before. It's just, it's cool that it's on a console, and it does all these other things really well.
Yeah, and it's also kind of in a shooter's clothing. It's an MMO in shooter's clothing, which has kind of been done with Borderlands, but not true MMO. Yeah, not true MMO. Like, you know, MMO Lite or whatever. Hello?
You could hypothetically stand around that world and do nothing as the game happens around you. Which, like, you know, you couldn't really do anything. You couldn't do something like that as of yet on a console.
Yeah, yeah. So
that's a shooter. Sorry, I should say that.
Well, yeah, I mean, you could play Final Fantasy 14 if you want to try to navigate that crazy menu.
Right. Or Skyrim, Elder Scrolls, the online.
Yeah. We don't talk about Elder Scrolls Online.
I don't think anyone talks about Elder Scrolls Online.
No. It's sad because it's the Dauk people. It was just straight up like the Dauk team.
They refuse to understand that MMOs themselves are like going out of style really fast, mm-hmm. and that especially Dauk style MMOs have already gone out of style and never will be back in style.
Can they make an MMO that isn't what MMOs are right now, please? Like, can they make one that's just like exploring with friends? Can that be an MMO?
Just exploring? I honestly feel like the ship has sailed. Like, I feel like.
I agree.
I feel like WildStar will be the, I don't know, the last nail in the coffin.
The last great hope.
People like WildStar. I don't know. I mean, it seems like they've leveled. I think that, you had FF14, which after its relaunch was a big success story. And those people are also interested in WildStar. Like, I have a couple of Twitter people whom I'm following. A lot of them are either transitioning into or adding WildStar into their mix. So, I think it's there
is WildStar
that.
WildStar out?
Yeah.
I think it's an early.
It is out.
Something or another.
It came out.
It's officially out.
Before E3, yep.
Okay. Yeah. So, it's, I don't know. It's still out there, but it's definitely, its heyday is long gone.
So. I think with the connectivity, like the environment that things like Xbox Live have made in the last 10 years and PlayStation Network now, like, every game is an MMO. So why do you need to have a dedicated single experience where that is happening?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. It's dead for a reason
because you have other games that create that experience in better ways.
Yeah, I'm pretty glad that you know, we don't have to. But that's not a thing that's super big anymore. Because it is true. I mean, at some point it becomes busy work. Yep. It's not even, you're not really playing anymore. You're just kind of, I don't know.
Spreadsheeting.
Going through the motions.
Going through the motions, right.
Yeah.
I've been there. I've seen that sign.
It's like when you used to love her. But then it just becomes routine. She doesn't even look at you when you're making love anymore. Try to talk to your parents about it, but they don't understand. They never knew what love was. And then you just start poisoning her. Bit by bit. You put it in her oatmeal.
Oh, I'll put it in her oatmeal.
Oh, no.
Well, guys, is there anything else we want to talk about before we wrap this one up? No
Mrs.
doubt,
Doubtfire,
you guys.
Mrs. Doubtfire coming to consoles 2016.
Hello!
I finally watched the Dumb and Dumber 2 trailer, and I really don't know how to feel about it.
I don't feel very good.
I'm happy. I am happy about that trailer.
There were some good parts, but I really think they went way too far into the gross out with the old lady vagina
Yeah. It just felt really stupid and in bad taste.
Yeah, well, but so was the first movie.
Yeah,
it's true. I don't know.
Your first Dumb and Dumber is your favorite Dumb and Dumber, am I right?
I like those movies as a kid, but I'm not sure that, or that movie as a kid, but I'm not sure that it would hold up now. I haven't seen it in a long
time. I watched it on TV the other day, and...
Well, Jeff, I think it's just because everything was great when you were a kid, and everything now sucks. That's a fact.
No!
Yep, that's true.
That's not true.
That's exactly what you're saying. Yeah, everything was good as a kid, now it all sucks.
No, Xenogears is still my favorite game.
Yep, see?
One of them.
It was all good when you were a kid. Everything else sucks now.
Xenoblade is good.
Yeah, it's good, but it's not great.
Are you reducing my opinions to a common internet trolley type thing?
I'm just saying you're getting old. We're all getting older. It's like, man, you know, they don't make Will Ferrell comedies. He was better on SNL, wasn't he, guys? Right? Better when blacks weren't on TV. Am I right?
I think Elf was the epitome of Will Ferrell.
He was okay.
I love Elf.
I liked Anchorman too. I didn't think that movie
you
was bad.
You were a monster.
I don't understand why you guys both hated it so much.
Because it's boring and awful.
Yeah.
Whatever. See, you guys are the nostalgia freaks.
I was so ready to love it because you gave it such a glowing recommendation, and I was so sad.
Maybe I ate
like set me up for sadness.
Maybe I ate like a funny taco or something. I don't know. I was laughing.
I was laughing too at the first, like, I'd say 10 minutes, and then I realized that this would be much funnier if it was just split into little 3-minute segments on Funny or Die.
See, I'm the person who can sit through really long movies and be totally okay with it. I don't know. I like to sit down with something really long and kind of drawn out, but
yep.
I don't know. Can I don't know.
You.
Wayne's World on PS4 2017.
Wayne's World 3 announced. Mike Myers just looks like he's dying.
Aww.
I just remember even through the Austin Powers movies, he just got older and older and just creepier and creepier looking.
That's true.
And they just applied more and more layers of makeup to his face.
Yeah.
Anyway, video games.
Wayne's World holds up by
yes, it does.
A lot.
Oh, yeah.
As a movie that has defined my life, I cannot disagree.
Yes. And I like both of them. A lot of people don't like two.
Mm-hmm.
Two's fine.
Oh, two's fine.
It's
one's
fine.
Gold.
Yeah.
What?
I think we both said two is fine. We both like two.
Two is okay. Fine.
It does some good the Graduate parodies.
Yep.
Yes.
He's Jim Morrison.
Shannon wasn't digging Wayne's World 1 until he saw that Garth's dog has that 80s style haircut.
Uh-huh.
And then she was like, I understand now.
Pivotal moments.
So, Jamie, did you also not like Dumb and Dumber 2 Dumb and Dumber when you rewatched it, or how did you feel about it?
Wait, just what?
So I can
at
get
first,
some closure.
When I rewatched it, I was like, at first I was really disappointed. Like, I was like, oh my god, this is actually awful. And then, about 10 minutes in, I was like, just relax, imagine yourself in a plaid shirt, and just like sit back. Like, go take a huff of your brother's ganj, and then come back. I didn't really do that.
This movie came out when we were like 5.
So what I did was, at first I was like, oh, this is awful. And then I was like, whatever, I'm just going to keep watching because I hate myself. And then after about 30 minutes, I really enjoyed it again.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, so you rewatched the first Dumb and Dumber and were upset by it?
Rewatched the first Dumb and Dumber. I was upset by it initially, and then I just loved it like I always have it.
Okay.
At the end, yeah.
Gotcha.
Because it really like just imagine Jim Carrey. Like, now when I think of Jim Carrey, I think of anti-vaccine bullshit. And like, I don't know, he's killing birds just constantly. That whole movie, it's just murdering birds.
Yeah, the trailer did. I had that moment where I was just like, oh, they're old. I'm like, he's really going for it. But, oh, boy.
But somehow, despite Jim Carrey being really old, he managed to look strangely, like, hard in a way that he has not looked in other movies.
Yeah, yeah. It's like the opposite Han Solo.
Harrison Ford.
Like, it's the opposite of Harrison Ford, where it's like, he just looks doughy and dead.
Yeah.
Where it's like, Jim Carrey...
He had that weird forehead bump going on that I don't think I remember him having ever in anything else. And I was like, yeah, that's cool. That makes me feel good.
Yeah.
But the dusty vagina did not. So, add one for the forehead bump, minus one for vagina dust.
You don't know. That might have not been a vagina. They could have been in her belly button. Or her butt. Butts are funny. They're stuck in her butt.
They already exhausted their butt joke quota in the trailer.
No.
Yeah.
How can
Jim Carrey looks funny with a beard.
Yeah. Yes. I think the first like 30% of that trailer was great, and then the last 70% of that trailer was kind of troubling.
Eh.
But the whole first movie is really troubling.
What?
Jamie, I think I just need to watch it on repeat for 30 minutes until my IQ score drops low enough to enjoy it again.
Because yeah, exactly. What I never realized as a kid is the dynamic in that movie is that Jeff Daniels is like almost kind of normal and Jim Carrey is just ruining his life. Like, and it's like so sad. It's like, no, Jeff Daniels, go have a job and be happy. And then Jim Carrey is like, I'm going to spend all your money and we're going to starve to death in Colorado. And you're like, no, don't do that.
But does not that make him just as crazy as Jim Carrey by following along with that? And
you feel worse for him. But Jamie, I think they captured that dynamic really well with the first scene of the trailer, because it's Jeff Daniels. Once again, his life is ruined by waiting 20 years for Jim Carrey.
Yes.
What I'm worried now at this point is that is not how the movie is going to open. And then I'm going to be really bummed out. Like, it'll be a different movie, and I'm like, oh,
yeah,
well,
we shall see.
You got me.
Very weird to do a sequel to a comedy after 20 years.
I think it's
very weird.
Great,
and it's like neither of them need it.
No, you know?
Somebody needs it.
Yeah, it's true.
Oh man.
Yep.
So, is there
How to Train Your Dragon yet?
Nope.
No.
Get out there.
I don't know, man. I like the first one, but I'm getting real antsy about CG movies. I'm getting real sick of them.
You already got that dragon figured out.
No, I'm just getting sick of CG movies, and it's like bumming me out because I need like a WALL-E to come along and just like change my feelings about CG. Hmm. Like I watched WALL-E and I was like, oh my god, this can be art. Thank God. I don't know.
Great beard effects. You like beards?
Yes. Tell me more.
Sure.
Then go see How to Train Your Dragon 2, because there's some epic CG beards.
Is that movie in theaters?
Yes.
What? Why would I ever go to a theater?
Here's the problem, Jamie. So I really liked How to Train Your Dragon. I thought it was a great movie. But it wasn't like a sublime or superlative movie. And I do this thing, especially with CG movies, where I get really sick of how saturated the market is with them, and I get really mad at them, and I need like an absolutely superlative movie in the CG medium to restore my faith in its ability to be like good.
No, you just don't like movies. How to Train Your Dragon was a superlative movie. So good. It did so many things different from other CG movies.
It was really good.
And it changed up so much of the formula. So good. And two actually kind of walks back on that promise a little bit, but still.
Well, now I'm definitely going. No, I really liked
it. Just dragging on.
I saw How to Train Your Dragon in theaters. I quite enjoyed it. I had a great time with it. Did not regret it even one bit.
There are moments in two that are Toy Story quality, gut wrenching.
Gotcha.
But overall, there's a couple things that I can't forgive, such as having no black characters in the movie except for the arch nemesis.
Oh, no.
That makes sense.
I mean, they are Vikings, but yeah, it's unfortunate they chose to make the first black guy they added in the movies.
He's like the most barbaric, least eloquent character in the entire thing, and he's just unforgivingly black. Even his henchmen are white.
Oh no.
Does he have a lowrider dragon?
Pretty much.
That's very unfortunate.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I can't describe it any better, but I get fed up with CG really fast because I think I never got over it replacing animation. So, and I need to watch like stuff that will just like go down in the annals of history.
I'll go down in the annals.
I pretty much serve that one up to you in the silver platter. And then my faith will be restored, and I'll be like, oh yeah, I'm gonna watch all the movies that are really good, but
see,
maybe don't elevate it. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm a consumer whore, so I get excited. Like I'm like, I'm gonna go to the IMAX and I'm gonna see this animated movie in 3D with my 3D glasses, and it's gonna be great.
JB, you've secretly seen like every movie released in the past 6
Jamie,
months.
I think you're just trying to get rid of as much money as possible as quickly as possible.
Jamie, have you seen The Edge of Tomorrow?
No, I want to, though. It's really well reviewed.
I want to as well. I just assumed that because it was a good movie, you had seen it and hadn't told anyone. But
no, I still have to see Edge of Tomorrow, Fault in Our Stars, 22 Jump Street. I have seen X-Men Days of Future Past. Excellent. You guys have to see it.
X-Men-lent.
Polygon trashed it, but I didn't. Or The Verge, I think, trashed it, but, you know, they're people.
Fuck them.
Yeah, I didn't take any stock in it.
Both of the X-Men movies. Did you see First Class?
No.
Oh my god! It was even better.
You got to remember, I very rarely go to the movies.
It was better than First Class.
I have a hard
class.
Time getting out there.
That's good. Okay.
No. First Class was better than Days of Future Past, but Days of Future Past is excellent.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I loved X-Men First Class.
I'm gonna watch Edge tomorrow Bacon this film. Weekend. But go ahead, Griffin. Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, it was a good Kevin Bacon film.
He was
a
in
romp,
that?
A delightful yeah. romp. Yeah.
Who did he play?
The bad guy.
Oh, okay.
You know who you won't believe is in it, Jeff?
Who?
As an X-Man or as a bad X-Man? January Jones.
Oh, I know she's in it.
Oh, okay.
Thought you were going to say Baby Cheeks.
Tila
What's her
tequila.
Name? Everyone loves her. J-Law. Jennifer Lawrence.
J-Law.
I was going to say, I'm going to see Edge of Tomorrow this weekend. That's going to be the first theatrical movie I've seen in a long time, which is very sad. I can never get out there.
Yeah, the last movie I saw in theaters was Anchorman 2.
That might have been the last one I saw.
And that's the last movie
sad.
I will ever see in theaters again.
I have this thing where I want to go, but I can never get out there. I don't know what's wrong with me.
Because it takes like 2 hours to watch a movie, and it's like $30.
I love going to movies.
I wish I went to more movies. I do.
It takes forever.
I'd gladly, literally the IMAX at the theater I go to for one ticket, it's and a 3D movie, it's literally $20, and I just pay it without thinking.
Jamie,
like, yes!
Next time you go to see a movie that is good and you just go to see because you do it impulsively and you just do it rather than being crazy like me, you need to somehow scoop me up and let me watch it.
That's the way you got to do it. You just got to be like, you got to be out and you got to be like, whatever I'm doing right now, like I'll be like at work and I'll be like, this sucks right now.
Uh-huh.
Is that it?
And then...
I think Jamie's gone. Jamie just killed himself.
He just quit work, and he went to an – he quit in the middle
just
of the podcast.
Out, he just whipped it out.
Yep.
And then he just started going.
He's going to watch – I don't know what's in theaters right now.
Edge of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Edging to tomorrow.
He is on the edge of tomorrow today.
He just started edging at work.
Yes.
Jamie,
I played Wolfenstein.
Oh yeah, talk about Wolfenstein.
Nope, because it's like 10 more. We're almost at 2 hours, and
okay, we can call it and get back to it next week and talk about other stuff. We can talk about a little bit of Tomodachi. I have some questions about that.
Yeah.
It started to. Oh hey, Jamie.
My laptop ran out.
How was the movie?
Oh okay.
The what?
How was the movie?
I just saw The Fault in Our Stars. It was great.
Good.
Did you guys see Grand Budapest?
Nope.
No.
So good.
Interesting.
So good.
You want to see Fault in Our Stars? Really? It doesn't look very good to me.
I love her. Did you see The Spectacular Now?
Did you see Godzilla?
I saw Secret Life of the American Teenager, which heavily featured her her acting horribly.
In the Spectacular Now, which is a fabulous movie, she acts brilliantly.
Yeah, no, she seems to be kind of up and coming.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Wait, you saw that shitty like superhero kind of movie with her in it, and it was bad, and now you think she's a bad actor?
No. I saw a really shitty ABC Family television series that Jessica watched for like the humor of the horrible situations called Secret Life of the American Teenager, which starred a younger her playing a girl who gets pregnant in like Christian values land.
Oh God.
And she's it's a terrible show. but no, I think she's a great actress. I also think she's very attractive. However, it doesn't make me want to see the movie.
Mm.
I watched Tropic Thunder again on basic cable.
Great movie.
It was a great movie. Still really good.
Yeah, it was a good movie.
Yep.
Ball sweat. What's the soda called?
Booty juice.
Booty juice.
I thought it was booty sweat.
Booty sweat. There we
booty
go.
Juice
booty
is
sweat.
Something else. That might be a Saints Row thing. No, that's Saints Flow. Never mind.
Oh yeah. Oh man, I need to play Saints Row 4.
Yeah, I have Saints Row 3 on Steam. Yeah. I should really play that.
I just, you know, I would love to see more movies, but I also don't because I would need to play more games. So
here's the thing: I just watched that the latest Sarkeesian video, and it had Saints Row 3 footage in it where you round up Hose, and I got really sad because it was alongside a lot of other footage with Hose, and I got really sad. Have you guys watched that latest video?
No.
What?
The latest Tropes versus Women video, which came out.
I don't know what that is.
You don't know that, Griffin?
No.
That caused a big stank.
Once again, I don't have a lot of time to watch anything.
This is a video game.
Video games.
Yeah, okay. It's anything. Literally, I don't have time to watch anything.
Well, Jamie, you know what it is. Actually, I'm just going to say this, and we can Griffin wants to end, so we can end after this. Something amazing happened, which is, so the video came out. I watched the video. I happened to be looking like right when it came out. I watched it. It was really, made me sad, but it was a great video. She did a really good job. It's probably her best one yet, just in terms of like coherent, calmly laid out argument, lots of examples. Very educational. But something amazing happened, which is that there was a NeoGAF thread, right? And you're thinking immediately, like, horrible things. And people were being great in it. I was so proud.
Awesome.
I was so shocked. I was like, wow, maybe people are not going to be horrible to her anymore.
Even when the first one came out.
Who is this?
Some lady who everyone hated until now, apparently.
Oh.
She did a Kickstarter to make videos about representations of women in games, and people got really mad because she wanted to do that, and she raised a lot of money.
And then people got even madder when the first one came out, and it was very basic, like, but I did not hate her for that first one, where she basically was saying things like Mario saves Peach, and Peach is a girl, and.
I think you're selling her a little short. Well, I think that she was. I think it was like a 101. I think that she knows what she's talking about, but she.
No, that's exactly what I'm saying. I appreciate that's the way that she started it because for people like Shannon who don't know anything about video games, they need that background. So I never had a problem with her at all.
Yeah.
Always enjoyed the videos.
I think she's. Yeah, I think she's been doing a great job. But yeah, people got really mad. They made like games where you could punch her and beat her up. This is just, again, in response to her posting a Kickstarter and having some videos on the internet where she uses words like troubling.
And ladies. That's my reaction when something I love is under threat.
Yeah, just threaten to rape them.
Yep.
You should watch it. You should watch the latest Tropes. I'm going to link it in the chat because it's nice. I've enjoyed them all. But that's all.
And that's all.
No!
might seem crazy what I'm about to say.
We're dedicating our entire briefing to games.
Sunshine, she's here, you can take a break. I'm a hot air balloon that could go to space.
Even punch asteroids.
Called Amiibo.
With the air, like I don't care, baby, by the way.
MOBA stands for Multi-User Online Battle Arena.
Dongate.
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 If you feel like happiness.
That's Tim Motherhung and Schaefer.
Uh-oh, here's Gladys.
Happiness is you. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like that's what you want to do.
All the feels,
Here come bad news, talking this and that.
Freaking awesome.
Better than on any other platform.
Well, I should probably warn you, I'll be just fine.
This is Golf Without Limits.
Yeah. No offense to you, don't waste your time.
And he's crouching on me. Okay, thank you.
Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof. Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth.
Hey, go.
And you guys thought we wouldn't have a press conference.